Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along to episode 425 of the Milk Bar. Jason Forrest here with you as ever this week. Coming up on the show, we'll be hearing from former Dragon Sarah Willingham all about how she might be able to help you save some cash on your broadband. Andy Reeves of Platinum Star is going to let us know about a forthcoming car boot sale. I'll have a chat with Kevin Bruton from Urbane all about what they're doing with their music at the moment. And we'll be hearing about the Help Harry Help Others Three Peaks Challenge when his mum will be making her way up the three peaks of the UK in 24 hours alongside some other mountaineers. We've got Chris George and John White joining us on the line too. But first of all, I went along to Venue Cymru in Llandudno to see and find out about Grease from some of the cast. Grease is the word at Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre from the 27th of November through to the 2nd of December. Playing Danny Zuko, is Tom Parker. Hey. From The Wanted. Hello.
How you doing?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm good.
So an interesting role, and is this your first one in theatre?
Yeah, first theatre role. It's been a bit of a learning curve, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
Been very different to what I've been used to before when I was in the band. But it's been cool. I feel like it's a lot more disciplined than I've been used to, which is kind of good at the age of 29 because I need that in my life.
But I mean, you're pretty much doing a tour every night of the week.
Yeah.
And whereas normally during a tour, you get a day or two off when you're travelling somewhere.
Yeah, that's definitely been the hardest part. I think the 6 days a week, eight shows a week has been, that's what I'm saying about the discipline. You have to be really careful about, you know, the amount that you use your voice even afterwards or before the show. It's quite demanding. So yeah, but I like it. I like the fact that you have to keep yourself in good shape and, you know, really think about your health, essentially.
Mm-hmm. When you're doing something like this, though, there's dancing, there's singing, there's also... And let's face it, The Wanted were never really a dancing boy band, were you, really,
No, we weren't, to be honest. And I remember when I first took this job, I went into the rehearsal room for the first time and this Arlene Phillips, who's the lead choreographer on it, she said, right, we're going to do the jive today. And I was like, what? That was a bit of an experience, but I feel like, you know, if you put your mind to something, you can definitely achieve anything that you want. So,
but
yeah.
Arlene's had so many different Dannys and Sandys, yeah, throughout the years, though.
She's done this show what seems like forever.
Yeah, at least two decades.
Yeah. So, you know, she's really, you know, well equipped to deal with people of, you know, all backgrounds. You know, mm-hmm, mine's majority singing. So, mm-hmm, yeah, I feel like, you know, the whole team here have been amazing at helping, you know, me achieve so much more in my overall performance in terms of the acting and the dancing, which is good.
When you're sliding across the stage on your knees, what are you a footballer by choice? Is that something you've prepared yourself for on the football pitch?
Yeah, it is literally. I mean, I'm a massive football fan, so when I'm sliding, I'm imagining that I just scored a goal at Wembley.
But, I mean, that must be quite scary. Has that gone wrong? You've not ended up in the orchestra's pit, which isn't being used because the orchestra are flying above you.
No, I've not actually. But there's been a couple of times where you kind of go on stage. We have to wear knee pads because obviously we don't want to damage our knees too much every night. So there's been a couple of times where I've completely forgot that I've had them on and I've stood up and been like, oh my God. There's little mishaps like that happen.
But you've survived. But there's not too many costume changes for you. You get away with it.
Danny's quite black and white, which I'm quite like that in...
Well, you're wearing half your outfit anyway, right, aren't you?
Yeah, a tight black t-shirt, and he doesn't really change that much, apart from the jive scene, so that's good.
But I mean, when it comes to the hair, you've always been one for looking after your hair, clearly, but you've got a hell of a lot more of it than normal, I'm guessing, at the moment.
Well, it's pretty long at the moment, to be honest. I've never really had it this long. It's usually been quite cropped. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm fortunate enough that someone gets to do my hair for me because I did attempt it for the first week or so. I was like, oh my God, I look awful. So the hair team just jumped in and was like, listen, we'll do it for you. I was like, yes.
And these were products that were completely unknown to you, I'm guessing, to grease it down.
They were, yeah. I think Dax Wax is one of them.
Yeah, you've not looked back since. I think as long as someone does your hair for you, you're happy.
It looks sharp every night, so that's thanks to the team. So when I look good on stage, It's the teams doing.
Was this a musical that you knew before you came to it? Or was it just sort of an inkling in the back of your mind that there was something called Grease out there?
Yeah, I mean, the show, like, as in, I've never seen the theatre show before, but obviously the film, I don't think I've ever met anyone that's not watched the film. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows the film, everyone knows the characters, everyone knows the storyline, so that definitely helps when you come and step into the theatre version. There's little adaptations that are a little bit different, so it's getting your head around little bits of that and the scripts and stuff, so yeah, but other than that, it's pretty similar.
Do you want to be John Travolta in it, or are you happy being your own version?
Do you know what? I'm really happy with my own version. I feel like people come with an expectation sometimes of, I want to see a John Travolta, and I just don't think that you can be that. I don't think anyone can imitate someone, you know, being John Travolta. He made the character so iconic, mm-hmm. but at the same time, you don't want to be an imitator of them because you become an impersonator of someone, and I feel like I bring a little bit more of a youthful side to Danny rather than, you know, I feel like I bring a bit more of a funnier side to him, mm-hmm. rather than, you know, like super, super cool. So
obviously it's probably, you are way more clean cut than Danny ever was. So yeah. That must have been quite a shock to the system, trying to sleaze it up a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. And I remember when I first went onto the photo shoot, I turned up with a bit of a beard. And they sent me to a barber's to have it cut on the morning of the shoot, literally a clean shaver. And they shaved in the sideburns down to me. I was like, I've got a walker in London like this. They were literally down here. I was like, can I cut these off? So, yeah, that was a bit of a weird one. Even this being this clean shaven is pretty weird for me.
Yeah.
So I'm always used to a bit of something.
Yeah, you're coping and you've got hair products and facial care to do, which you've never done before.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
And I've got Starbucks, which is good.
So you're happy there. But I mean, you've been experimenting on the tour as well, because you're normally vegetarian. You tried vegan last week as well. What's going on here then? Is this a whole new side of you this is bringing out?
So basically, I've been a meat eater all my life and a dairy drinker. And I watched a documentary on Netflix called What the Health. If you've not watched it, it's pretty amazing. So I tried vegan for 3 days and that was really tough. It's really tough.
But you've still got soy milk in your
I've got soy milk.
Yeah.
So I'm trying, and I'm going to try vegetarian this week and just like see how I get on. I think being vegan when you're on tour is really, really tough. There's a few cast members that are vegan, and it's easier when you're at home because you can cook and you can create stuff on your own. But when you go to Marks and Spencer's, all you've got is roasted veg sandwich. You're like, oh, God, no. I can't stomach one of them.
Is this a whole sort of new direction in the way you're working out your life? Because obviously with the Wanted on hiatus at the moment, you're doing some of your own writing as well, I think, at the minute, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm a producer by day, so I mean, I love being in the studio. I've got a studio at home. Mm-hmm. It's a kind of good and bad at the same time, because I love being in the studio, but I love being on stage. So mm-hmm. I kind of lug my studio around as much as I can do, and, you know, like do as much as I can on the road. So I'm just working on a new like dance project at the moment, which will hopefully get a bit of traction throughout like the back end of this year. So yeah, but it's going to be anonymous, so no one's going to know.
Okay, so some random dance project turns up, we'll blame you.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. It's probably the guy from The Wanted.
Yeah, fingers crossed it'll be a good one. Mm. And talking to The Wanted as well, obviously you're getting a lot of Wanted fans come along to see the gigs. Yeah. Are they slightly disappointed you don't sing about Rihanna during any of this?
Yeah, I think, do you know what? I think it's a weird experience for my girlfriend, my fiancé. She can't really watch me in it, because she just knows me as me.
That's because you're snogging Sandy and Rizzo.
I think when someone knows you so well, it's really hard for them to imagine them doing something else. Like, she's never known me as an actor before. Like, it's just, she's always known me from Tom from The Wanted.
Yeah.
And just me being me. So it's really hard. And I think with the fans, I think they're used to being at a concert, it being crazy, and like crazy loud, and then they come to the theatre and it's just like, whew, almost silent. I mean, luckily Grease is a bit lively and the crowd are interacting a bit more than a usual.
Oh, particularly at the end of the show, because you must enjoy that in particular.
I love the end of the show. That's one thing that I've really, really struggled to adapt to, is the audience interaction, the participation. Like, because I used to love being interactive with a crowd when I was in the band and, you know, playing to an audience, but this is like, you know, you've got to imagine there's just a screen there and they can't see it. It was a real It was a real learning curve for me, a real test to try and block that out.
So you want to see this man being Danny in Greece, all you need to do is get along to the Grand Theatre from the 27th of November through to the 2nd of December. 01902 429212 is the box office number. Grandtheatre.co.uk is the website. But Tom Parker, a.k.a. Tom Parker of The Wanted, thank you for joining us.
Nice one, pleasure.
In a moment or two's time, we'll be hearing from Kevin from Urbain. But first of all, let's hear their self-titled track to put us in the mood for a bit of a chat. We'll be right back. That's a bane and a bane. And to let us know what's going on with the band at the moment, we have Kevin Brewerton. Good day to you, sir.
Good day, sir. How are you doing, Jason?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Very good. Yeah, I'm really enjoying it all.
Yeah,
very good.
Well, we speak on the heels of some disappointment because we were hoping to be plugging the gig at the Robin 2, but unfortunately, the group you're going to be supporting have had to can their tour. So you are now, at the moment, not performing this weekend coming, but there are loads of gigs on the way. What's going on at the minute? Because last time I introduced you, this was something you were doing every 18 years or so, but it's turned into something of a regular outing for you, hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think it started there. I mean, we've just gone 50, we've just had a 50th birthday party, which was really what it was all about. But people seem to quite like what we did in terms of the electronic 80s music. So I think between myself, Mark and Steve, we ended up doing around about somewhere between four and six gigs a year, you know, at various different events, you know, either for birthdays or for various charity things. And performed a couple of times at the Robin as well. So, yeah, we get a massive buzz from it, a massive buzz from the audience as well. The audience participation really, really makes it for us. You know, certainly all these old songs really, really gets us into the groove in terms of what's going on.
Guess you are doing your own stuff and you're doing some covers as well. We're going to hear a couple of covers off you as we head through the show today. But in itself, obviously, there are things which are natural choices for you to perform, but have you decided to do something a bit wild and wacky as well? Can I expect a Madonna cover from you at some point?
A bit
of Madonna, yeah.
Oh, I don't know about that. I think, to be honest, I think our genre really is around about 1980 to 85. You know, when we were at Cottle High School many, many years ago, you know, we were sat around the radio listening to, you know, your Visage, your Ultra Rocks, your Human League. So, I mean, I think, you know, we've done 4 or 5 years of that sort of stuff, that sort of genre. At the moment, what we'd really like to do is continue doing that 4 to 6 times a year. And also, you know, going back to that era as well, we did an awful lot of putting together tracks like the Urbane track. So it's probably 2 or 3 albums worth of stuff we recorded at the time and various stuff we've done in the late 90s. So I think now is a bit of a time now, because a lot of effort went into our 50th birthday. And now it really is, well, let's actually do some writing. A lot of the old bands, you know, like Depeche and OMD coming back, and obviously Erasure still around as well. And lots of subjects, political, non-political, all sorts of stuff actually going on in the world, good and bad. So, you know, it's good to actually take some time out and remember who we are as people as well. So certainly my dream is, I suppose, really to support ourselves. So we'd actually start off, you know, do a session, I don't know, 6 or 8 tracks of our own stuff, and then go into an evening where we literally do the electronic 80s cover type stuff. But, yeah, to be honest, well, I'm not sure as Madonna and Material World will quite make it into the set list for a while.
That'd be interesting to see. However, we'll stick with listening to the electronic tunes. When you are choosing the tracks, is it your absolute favourite you're playing? And is that making it even more enjoyable to appear on stage?
Very much so, yeah. I think it's a balance between absolute favourites and what will actually get people up and dancing as well. So, you know, you've got to be careful about going too obscure, you know, going for album tracks. I don't know, say off an obscure 1980 Gary Numan album. You know, spend a lot of time, a lot of effort actually pulling this stuff together, and then finding out that people have stood about not really doing anything to it, you know. So it really is a mix, I think, of popular stuff and stuff that we like as well, you know, and I think we're pretty much true to that. Although, interesting enough, one of the tracks I think you're going to play is Electric Dreams, and that's an 84 Filoki and Giorgio Moroder track, and I know Steve finds that one of the cheesiest pop records ever, but in terms of the reaction it gets, the actions we get people doing, and you know, the memories it evokes for people, certainly when we've done it at the Robin, is just incredible. You know, it really is inspiring to see people getting up and getting down to this sort of stuff.
Well, we'll see what happens when we do play that now. We're going to take a listen to Together in Electric Dreams. Before we do, though, give us the website and your Facebook pages so people can check out what you're doing and where you're appearing next.
Yeah, so the band's obviously called Urbane, Urban with an E on the end. The website is, literally, if you just type into Google, Urbane band, that'll get you the first, we're the first site actually on there. You can get all the details of all the gigs and all the stuff that's actually going on.
Well, absolutely loving what you do. Having seen you perform live, I know it's worth getting along to the next gig. And have you got any dates in mind at the moment?
Not at the moment. I mean, literally, we've had quite a year. It's been our 50th birthday party, I think we did a session for charity at Cotswold where we all went to raise a couple of grand for those guys. Very busy first half of the year, so at the minute it really is looking to book stuff for 2018 and really getting back to doing some writing, like I say.
Let's take a listen to one of your covers. This is Together in Electric Dreams. Kevin Brewerton, thanks for joining us and thank you for obeying.
Cheers. Thanks, Jason. Take care.
That's Obeying with their version of Together in Electric Dreams. This September sees a Three Peaks Challenge. It's raising funds for Help Harry Help Others. And on the line, I have two of the climbers who are taking part. Someone who's climbing and is, of course, a major part of the charity. We've got Georgina Mosley, we've got Chris George, and also John White. Hello to you all.
Hello.
So first of all, Georgina, I mean, sadly, Harry lost his battle to his brain tumour some time ago, and he's certainly not been forgotten, not only by your family, but also by millions across the country. And obviously, the work of Help Harry Help Others goes on, and this is yet another challenge that you're getting involved in to help raise funds.
Absolutely. You know, everybody that fundraises for Help Harry, we are a small personal charity and we really appreciate it. So where possible, you know, I do like to get involved and show my support and appreciation. Although I'm dreading it, if I'm honest.
Well, I mean, the Three Peaks, 24 hours, that's going to be a challenge. But over the weekend, you've actually been in training and did Snowdon twice on Saturday.
Yes, I did, yeah. My body wasn't built for fitness. And the first time I did Snowdon, oh my gosh. So I've just really tried, you know, with personal training and stuff. And, I want it to be as less painful as it can be. So really pleased with the times. First time we got at the top 2.5 hours. Second time it took longer, but I'm just so pleased that we did it because it was about endurance and stamina and just not giving up. And, you know, we in life have a choice and sadly cancer patients don't. So them at the forefront of your mind, you can just, and obviously more so Harry, it just wasn't an option to fail.
Well, absolutely. And Chris and I have been having a chat in the days leading up to this interview, and we were talking about the tenacity you're going at this with. And we reckon it's genetic. We're not sure which way it went, Harry first or you first, but certainly, it's in there. It's in the family. It's in the genes. And I mean, Chris, this event itself, tell us a bit about the Three Peaks and the date it's all taking place.
Well, basically, this idea stemmed through a couple of friends deciding that we need to do something different. Last year, we cycled from John O'Groats to Land's End, raising money, obviously, for Help Harry. We needed to do something different. We decided the Three Peaks was a good idea, although I'm not sure why. the group grew very quickly from six friends up to 36 people. On the 8th of September, as you say, we go up to Fort William to climb Ben Nevis, and then obviously proceed on to Scarfell and then on to Snowdon. We're just trying to raise as much as we possibly can, trying to enjoy ourselves, at the same time getting fit and less fat, if that's possible.
Well, somebody needs to work out the calories to do all of that. Georgina, I suppose for you, having done Snowdon twice, as it's the last one, you'll be mentally prepared for that one, won't you?
Yeah, well, I've got Chris Goff and the Penny fans in a couple of weeks' time. But, and as for calories, the Fitbit showed me that I burned past 4,500 yesterday.
Blimey, so. That's good going. That's well worth it.
I tracked all of it, don't you worry. I've reminded everybody of what I did yesterday.
Now, John White, you're one of those who's already raising funds for this. And we believe you've got about $3,000 towards this cause already.
Yeah, Jason, it's been overwhelming, really, the support that people have given and pledged to Help Harry Help Others. And I think it's testament to the impact that the charity has, and people can see that it really does make a huge difference. So they've been very forthcoming in sponsoring me and putting forward their hard-earned cash for the charity.
Oh, yeah, and it's an absolutely mad thing to do when you think about it. And you've got a full team doing support on driving as well. Can we give a shout-out to both them and some of the sponsors who are involved in this?
Our main sponsor, which is GT Access Limited, who supplied event hoodies. We've also got TNA Installations, who supplied the beanies, which is obviously very important. We need to keep warm when we get to the top. We've got Gorilla Water Coolers, who have supplied all our water for the whole challenge and all the training walks. We've also got Thompson Services, who paid for a minibus, and also Millennium Cargo, who supplied all the medical supplies, which obviously ice packs, heat packs, the creams, the lotions, all that other stuff. Without the sponsors, this challenge would be pretty much impossible. So we need to say a massive thank you to them as well for all that.
Georgina, tell us where the cash goes to.
We have three funds, really, and it was all geared up around where, when we went through the journey with my son, we just felt there wasn't enough support, which is right in the community. So we have Help Cure, where we fund research, Help Cope, where we give grants to families that suffer from financial hardship as direct results of the cancer diagnosis and the impact that that has. And 2 years ago, I opened Birmingham's first drop-in cancer support centre of its kind. We have about 12 or 13 services on site, including housing, benefits, counselling, emotional support, grassroots and advocacy and support groups, information days, workshops, you name it, we try and do it. And, you know, we don't get any funding as yet, so everybody's support is what keeps the dream going, really, of trying to provide what we felt wasn't there when we were going through it. I can't thank everybody enough that's taking part in the challenge, functioning it, and also that supporting guys, you know, donating for the sponsorship.
So, Chris, where do we actually provide sponsorship for this particular challenge?
It's basically a Just Giving page. It's Help Harry, Help Others, 3-peat challenge. Obviously, every penny counts, every penny helps. And we can do it a manual donation as well.
So people can get in touch through your own Facebook pages. Just search for Help Harry, Help Others, and you can do that there. And of course, Georgina, you've got the main website as well. What's the details on that one?
Yeah, the main website for Help Harry is www.hho.org.uk.
So hho.org.uk. Go along, you can find about all the events.
Correct.
And have you got your own Twitter feeds and everything that are going to be providing photos as you go along on all of this?
Absolutely, yes. Twitter's at Harry_Mosley, and then Chris is separately one for the 3-peat, because he's the boss man, he's the organiser with Richard.
Chris, what are the details?
The details are on Facebook, and it's literally under HHHO 3-peat Challenge.
So find it all there on Facebook, and say there'll be updates as you go along. There'll be people who can't be climbing who will be following you, I'm sure of that. It's an excellent group of causes that you're raising funds for in memory of a fantastic fella. Good luck to you all. Keep up the good work. But for now, Georgina Mosley, John White and Chris George, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much, Jason.
Let's say something else from Bain now. This is another cover. Just Can't Get Enough here on the Milk Bar.
Just can't get enough. can't get enough. I just 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 can't get enough.
Just can't get enough from Urbane. This Sunday, the 20th of August, there's an indoor car boot sale. It all gets going at 11 a.m. It's been put on by Platinum Star. And to tell us more about it, we have Andy Reeves on the line. Hello.
Hello, Jason. It's been you, right?
All good with me. And you're busy down at Gilbert's this Sunday.
Oh, I'm very, very busy. Hopefully, it'll be a good day. It's anybody will turn on. We've got roughly around 35 stores, which is capacity. We've got a range of stores and they're all sold out now, so which is unbelievable.
Absolutely brilliant. And that means people can come along, pay their 40p entrance fee for adults, 20p for kids, under 5's free, and come along and shop. So do you know what sort of range of goods are going to be available?
There's going to be stuff like Tom Bowlers and, you know, it's all different. Or, you know, there's going to be flavour stuff. I believe the Air Ambulance are coming along as well, their store. There's going to be quite a big range of stores that... So I couldn't really name all of them, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, but lots of different things. And not only supporting the charity that the funds are going towards for you guys, but also various charities come along and supporting too. So stallholders have made their donation, which is going towards your local charity. And then the funds that they make from what they sell, or whether it be a tombola or otherwise, are going to go to their group. So everybody's a winner, basically, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean, Platinum Star Charity Events, we like to help everybody. We don't just like to... Our one charity there, if you know what I mean. We'd like to, if charities want to come along to our events and stuff like that, you know, such as indoor car boot sales, they're more than welcome to. So obviously, they're helping us and we're helping them at the same time.
And you've got a sponsor for this as well. Elephant Mobile are helping you out to make sure that the whole event goes really well.
Yeah, I just want to thank Lee Clegg for Elephant Mobile in Clive Street, Willinor. He's kindly donated the fee to print off the posters and... You know, so Lee's going to be there on Sunday as well. He's going to be selling his mobile devices and fidget spinners and stuff like that. So, you know, I'm really grateful to Lee for supporting the event. I just want to thank Gilbert as well for donating the room as well.
Yeah, so they're looking after you too. And obviously you have a lot of events down at Gilbert's, and the fact there's probably more on the way very soon, isn't there?
Yeah, we've got an event in September, which is a 50s and 60s night. That's fancy dress. Tickets are only £3.50 an adult. And also in October, we've got a Beatles tribute.
So all the details on that one are on your Facebook page?
Yeah, the Facebook page is platinumstartrendsevents.bigcartel.com.
So you can find all of that online. You say, we've got this event this coming Sunday, so get yourself down there, 11 o'clock. Get yourself down there nice and early to make sure nothing's sold out. And it's at Gilbert's on Field Street in Willenhall, WV13 2NY, supporting worthy local causes. 40p for adults, 20p for kids to get in, under 5's free. And not only that, but they get to meet you as well.
Oh, yeah, that's, it's a privilege for me to meet them, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Everybody's welcome to come along and have a browse, and obviously there should be some quality items on sale as well. We've got, I've just been talking to a donut store. We've got a donut store coming along as well.
Mm-hmm. So lots of things. So we know where to find you on the day as well then, don't we? Absolutely, yes, that's going to be the case, isn't it? So Eddie, all the donuts you purchase will come out of your own pocket as well. All funds raised going to charity. And Andy, as ever, keep up the good work, mate, and we look forward to finding out what's going on with Platinum Star and catch up with you again soon. Okay,
thank you very much. Thanks for your time, guys.
Yeah.
The routine bites hard and ambitions are low and resentment rides high, but emotions won't grow. And we're changing our ways, taking different roads, but love, love will tear us apart. Is my timing that flawed? Our respect runs so dry, but there's still this appeal that we kept through our lives. And love, love will tear us apart again.
Bane. Don't forget, check them out online, find out when the next gig is and enjoy their electronic sound.
Thank you very much, Ian Curtis.
The UK is massively overspending on its broadband. To tell us more about it, former TV Dragons Den Dragon and consumer champion Sarah Willingham. Hello.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Great, thank you. All the better for speaking to you.
Well, thank you for that. And thank you for trying to save us some cash. What's going on then? What are people doing?
Well, this research, actually staggering results, the research carried out by First Utility Broadband, looking at how much we're overspending because we're out of contract on our broadband. And basically what that means is you've sat down and you've seen a TV advert or a billboard advert and you've responded to it and you've gone, I'm really savvy. I'm going to sign up for this brilliant broadband offer, which is 20 quid a month for the next 18 months or 2 years. And then when you sign up to it, they say to you, well, at the end of that, the end of that period, the price, it will double. So it'll be £40, let's say. And this is looking at the people who are in that situation where they're at the end of the savvy bit, the 18 months or the 2 years, where they've got a really good deal and they're now paying double. And what is staggering about it is it's 3/4 of the households in the UK, which is just unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, Wolverhampton itself does sit at the national average with 84,603 homes that are with broadband and actually potentially paying too much. So that's almost £7.2 million being wasted.
Yeah, that's three. Just to put that into context, that is 3 out of 4 households in Wolverhampton are in the position where they're out of contract, they're paying way more than they should be, and they haven't switched. And if they did switch, they could save between about £115 and up to £200-£250, depending on what their current deal is.
And it's not even always about the amount of money you're spending, but also the quality of the product you're getting, because it could be you're paying more than you need to for a slower speed broadband. So you could, in fact, stop those little glitches every time you're trying to watch iPlayer and have something that flows more smoothly and not pay any more for it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's what happened to me when I switched last, because we'd only just recently got fast broadband into our area. So if you are one of those people, I mean, if you're out of contract, the chances are you've had your broadband for at least a couple of years anyway, and things are moving so quickly that it is worth, regardless, making the call. One, you'll save money and you could end up with a much better broadband. So it's very simple. Just anybody that's listening to this, call your current provider, find out if you're out of contract, and then if you are out of contract, go to a good comparison website and just get the best deal on the market, one that's got no upfront setup costs, no out of contract price hikes.
With the likes of the energy retailers, they do have to tell you 49 days before your contract ends. This isn't something that happens here, so there's no point waiting for your supplier to get in touch with you.
Well, this is it. This is one of the reasons why First Utility got into it in the first place, because obviously they're an energy supplier and they've moved into broadband because they said, you know, this is ridiculous that broadband suppliers, Ofcom, have not regulated in the same way, and they don't force broadband suppliers to let the consumer know when they're out of contract. So that's why they've come up with a broadband where there is none, no, there are no price hikes at the end of it, and they're calling for Ofcom to regulate to say you have got to contact the consumer when you get to the end of it.
Have you got your own website as well, haven't you? Letsavemoney.com.
Yes, that's right. So it's a completely independent website where it's just advice on how to save money on your basic household bills.
And you're paying possibly £113 more a year than is necessary on your broadband. It could be even more than that when you look at all of those utilities, and whether it be through letsavemoney.com or by contacting First Utility, both of you have got the consumer's interest at heart.
That's it. That's exactly right. I think I just hope that people listen to this and think, three out of four households, the chances are it's me. They make the phone call to find out whether or not it is them or not, and then do something about it.
Yeah, well worth doing. As simple as getting online and looking at it, or you could even phone around as well. I mean, there will be ways of getting in touch with some of your supplier to find out what you can't do and what you need to do, and when your contract's up. And of course, as soon as they realise you may be looking to move elsewhere, they'll be happy to offer you a better deal.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But you'll all always, I have no doubt that they'll offer you a really good deal, much better than the one you're on, to try and get you to stay. But always go and have a look at Good Comparison website just to make sure that it is actually the best deal.
Well, from scaring people in Dragon's Den to becoming a consumer champion, Sarah Willingham, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, love. Have a good day.
That's your love for this week. Thank you so much for joining us. Back next week with episodes 426. And I hear rumours that Zoe may be around too. We'll see how that works out. You never know with Zoe, but there we go. See you then. Ta-ra for now.
Goodbye from the milk bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar. Yeah.